Blog Talk Radio.
And gentlemen, welcome to the premier podcast, The Attic. Yeah, every week, this urban bunch of folks get together and they lay it down type real. Another perspective that you did not see coming. The cast of The Attic includes, of course, co-producer. We got Brother Messenger. We got Baby Sis. And we got Baby Bro. We got Nurse Carmen. And Sister Sippy. And of course, we cannot forget Sister Sunshine. Now sit back, relax, and be entertained by the cast of The Attic. Good evening, podcast audience. That's right. It's Wednesday night. It's 9 o'clock, and it is time for The Attic. As always on Wednesday nights, I try to give you a urban perspective on current events. I say to some, I say to others, if this isn't your type of podcast, hey, catch us next week because we're a big variety show here. Hey, listen, how's my crew doing tonight?
Good, doing well. Yep.
All right.
Man. Okay.
I see you dug into your record crate from 1974, 75.
Hey, you know what? When I describe to you, I got to see you to tell you where that theme came from, man. And then you'll laugh also. Hey, but anyway, Okay. Listen. Tonight, Brother Messenger, you know, he's like the anchor to the show. Maybe joining us late. So what he did was, he has someone sitting in for him tonight, and he'll just go by number two. How you doing tonight, number two?
Man, I'm all the way in there. Enjoying this first night on this radio thing. So I keep saying this internet thing. Let's see what it do.
All right. So
now,
so now that we got that out of the way.
Said y'all need a new DJ, I'm your man.
You're in prison.
A minor challenge for an alcoholic.
let the games begin. Hey, listen, folks. Again, we are in February. It's been decided that since it's the shortest month here, we'll let them have that. So we're in Black History Month, and again, we like to bring you a different perspective on shit that you look at every day. And to start our show off tonight, first I want to pay homage to Dr. King. Again, for what he did, what he tried to get started, what he got started. Again, we wouldn't be where we are today without him. Or we may be on our way, but we wouldn't be where we are. And please, please, please. Don't confuse that shit with I think we're all right, okay? Because the two are not the same. But because of Dr. King's work in civil rights, again, we've made great strides. So, as always, this is The Attic. This is not your local broadcast news. So we want to give you a different look at shit. And I came across this this Facebook posting, and it kind of disturbed the shit out of me at first, man. But, you know, I said, let me calm down. And the first thing came to mind was, I wonder how many other people don't know this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask for your patience. Give me about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and I'm going to play a clip that I got off the internet from a radio station. Stand by. It pertains to Dr. King's death. And listen, you can't make this shit up, man.
Here's what he had to say about the way Dr. Martin Luther King was actually killed.
Well, he wasn't killed from the bullet that hit him on the balcony. He was taken to the St. Joseph's Hospital. And he was killed in the emergency room of St. Joseph's Hospital by the chief of neurosurgery, Dr. Breen Bland, who came in when they were all working on him in the emergency room, and he said, "Get out of here, let that f***er die." And as they moved out of the room, the last one out was a surgical nurse, Lula Mae Shelby, and when she heard that gathering of spit in their lungs to spit on Martin's body lying on a bed there, then she saw Dr. Bland take the catheters out of Martin's body and take the pillow from under his head and put it over his face and suffocate him. And that's how Martin King died. That's how he was really assassinated. Now, he might have died anyway from the bullet wounds, but he didn't. He was still alive and still breathing. The chief neurosurgeon, he intervened and he made sure that death would result.
Wow. Right? My jaw was on the floor. Now, Dr. Pepper knows this because the son of the nurse, Lula Mae Shelby, who died, but before she died told her family, the son of this nurse told Dr. Pepper under oath, and when Dr. Pepper confronted a member of the Dixie Mafia, he said, yes, this happened, and actually that the chief of surgery was their family doctor, and that 3 weeks before the assassination, he visited them and said, hey, if the bullet doesn't kill him, make sure he goes to St. Joseph's, because we will make sure that he dies. Now, let's talk about this case, okay? This was a civil suit in 1999 where Pepper represented the King family, and that really made the family feel like they had closure, and like I said, it was the only trial ever held. The Memphis jury in this case decided that local, state, and federal governments were liable for King's death, and that this was a real conspiracy, a conspiracy between the U.S. military, the Memphis PD, and Dixie Mafia, these crime figures.
This is just for the audience.
Right.
This is a civil case that was brought, much like the O.J. case.
Right,
where
a jury
they couldn't find him guilty here, but finally when a civil jury heard it, they came out with
a conspiracy. It was the only trial, yes, and there were 30 days of trial, and over 70 witnesses were heard. And Dr. Pepper told me earlier today that it took the jury less than an hour to decide after these 30 days
of
trial.
That this was a true conspiracy.
Correct.
Where others may have been involved.
Correct.
Other than the person who was accused.
And that James Earl Ray was the fall man, and that he was unwittingly, unknowingly part of this conspiracy. And the real shooter, I gotta say this, even though we can't get to the whole story, was Frank Strouser. He was a Memphis police officer, the best shot in the Memphis PD, and he was the one who actually fired the fatal shot.
See, that's that kind of news. That on one hand, you say, you can't be that evil, man. You can't just set that kind of shit in play against a civil rights leader. But on the other hand, you got to understand where we are. We are in North America. And whether that's true or not, how many people on this podcast believe it might not be all the way true, but it sounds like it's got a lot of truth in it?
Possibility, anything's possible.
Really,
all conspiracies sound truthful. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you know, we honor Dr. King, but I mean, if they killed that man like that, man, I mean, you know, and you know what I really got out of that whole thing, and again, I'm not saying that that's gospel. Everybody understand that, but I heard it. Sound true to me, so I want to talk about it. What I really got out of that is, did you hear who the conspiracy, the conspirators were? You got the government, you got the military, and you got the mafia. Yo, how the fuck can anybody win against that, man? If you got that kind of pull that you got the government, the military, and the mafia, I mean, think about it. Who can't they stop?
Hey, it's kind of like that the same people you had when JFK got shot. You had the government, the mafia, and the military. So what do you believe?
But you know, I think that that's I mean, again, that's just a new level of just deplorable hatred. I mean, when if the story is true, to have people hawking up spit to spit on that man, and wow. When again, I was a little taken back by that story, and the fact that they had a lawsuit. You know, the one of the commentators want to make it seem like, okay, you just keep trying courts until you find one that gives you what you want. But, you know, the lady, you know, somebody that was there said that happened. And they said when they went to ask the family in Alabama that was supposed to be the mob family, if there is such a thing, they said, yeah, we did it. And now let me tell you, if they did do it, I'm sure that, you know, there was a nice little reward for them doing it. And I'm sure that if they did it, they don't really, you know, hey, we another Moulin Rouge, right? But the thought of the government putting out a hit on somebody like that, I mean, that's just, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm getting sentimental in my old age, but that shit is just deplorable, man. I'm sorry. I got real ill feelings about that.
Now, did the King family, are they just finding out about this, or was this something that they knew and were trying to get to the bottom of it?
No, this already was discussed in a lawsuit already. They were in court and shit, you know what I'm saying? So this came out, and they won a lawsuit. You know, I guess, I don't know how much they broke. They probably gave a lawsuit and told them, we'll put up a statue that don't look like you in Atlanta, and we'll call it even. But, you know.
Oh, so that's how that statue came. Yeah, so that's how that whole statue came about?
No, I was just bullshit. I just threw that.
Oh, okay.
But
okay. I know you goofing on that, but you know what? Things like that, sometimes it goes down like that.
But you know what?
But the mainstream news people, they didn't grasp this.
No, listen, let me tell you something, all right? And this is going. I'm gonna get off track and come back on track. The fact that you have the government. The police department. No, wait. You got the government, the police, and the FBI, and the mafia, as they who are organized syndicate. But I grew up in Jersey. I'm kind of careful about how I throw that word mafia around. All right. So I'm just gonna call them another group of people. We'll call them contractors. Okay. But if you have those three working together, don't you understand that they can shut down anything, anybody they need to shut down? So if you and just imagine the people who were in the room, who if I watch this, I'm sorry. If I seen you pull the catheters out of a man on the operating table and put a pillow on his face and smother him, see, you don't have to convince me that you evil. And when you tell me that I can't tell, trust me, I understand that shit. I do. I'm not going against that. So just imagine you got to hold that shit inside of you. Now, if you're one of them people who spit on them, you probably didn't have to hold much. But everybody in that room couldn't have hated that man.
And I would believe everybody in that room couldn't hold on to that. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what happened. But once again, you held on to that shit for 20 years. Now you know, mm-hmm. Now you have to ask yourself, I mean, you've been holding on to the shit, you should just kept it. Or does that make you better? Because 20 years later, now you come out with the truth about it, or a version of the truth about it. Does that make you better? Anybody?
So I guess that's the ones that had a conscience.
But does it make you better? No, because you waited 20 years.
You waited too long. Much as that man is gone, they've already got shit established or not established in his name. Now you come out with that kind of shit. You know what that reminds me of? That, remember the old case from down south? What's my man name? The whistle, the young boy whistled in Alabama. Emmett Till.
Emmett Till.
Okay. Just before this lady died, 100 years later, now she wanted to tell the truth that he didn't whistle at me. Well, that's too. I mean, don't get me wrong, but all the damage has been done. What now? You telling the truth now? What if it don't cleanse your soul? You hundreds of thousands of millions of people suffered because of that bullshit you did. Now you come clean, and we saying it's okay. You know why? Because see, we believe that at any time, if you come and tell me I'm sorry, we have to forgive you. That's what we believe. And again, part of that is true. But, you know, I do. I'm sorry. I just get a little outraged.
But there's some accountability. There should be some accountability for that, too, though.
And then you know what's really, really sad? What's really sad is at the time when Dr. King was murdered, and again, I see on Facebook, like, you know, stop saying he was assassinated. He was murdered, man. Okay, so and he didn't die for civil rights. He died because of civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the time when that happened, tell me that and that's what makes the story so believable, because that was the attitude of the nation. You know, so that's what makes that shit so believable. But I just say that, damn, I ain't got shit to say to the government on that one, man. You know, so but they got King.
So that means so they were that scared of they were that fearful of this man and the change that he was doing that they had to do that to him.
Well, right. Again, who was that? Was that Franklin Roosevelt? Or was that which president or head of the FBI said one of the most powerful and fearful things in America is an educated black man or organized black people?
Edgar.
Hoover.
How I know all these people's names right
See?
Now.
Edgar Hoover. Yeah, but what'd he say? Nah, don't worry about Russia and China. You better keep these Negroes under control right here, because if they ever wake up and understand what the fuck really happened to them, we gonna be in trouble, y'all. And that's what it is. We gonna be in trouble, y'all. And you know, we ask ourselves, and it's again, because you know it's Black History Month. And again, we gonna get real into different conversations. But I got a little clip here about somebody asked Malcolm X if he hate white people. And I want to start off by saying I don't hate anybody. The cast of this podcast, hate ain't part of what we do. But I want you to listen to this for a second.
Do you hate all white people? I don't think it's a fair question. The white man doesn't even come into my attitude. Mr. Muhammad teaches us to love our own kind and let the white man take care of himself. For a white man today, sir, after kidnapping millions of black people from Africa, stripping them of all human characteristics and relegating them to the role of chattel or cattle or animals, commodity, merchandise that could be bought and sold at will, and then 100 years since the Emancipation Proclamation, using every type of deceptive method to further us into slavery, called second-class citizenship, I think that it would take a whole lot of nerve for white people today to ask Negroes do they hate them.
And you know, when Malcolm dropped that, it might have sounded as though hatred or whatever. But when you think about what he's saying is, here we are, built this country, done nothing. I mean, don't get me wrong. The work conditions wasn't close to what they were supposed to be. But we built this country. And even to this day, man, we don't get the same equality as other people who stole the land. See, I don't understand that. It's Black History Month. Somebody please during this month help me understand it so I could be all right for the rest of the year. what would be your real cause to dislike entire race of people? What would make you want to do that without even getting to know them? We call that, yeah, that's that hate, that hatred racism. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't going to say there's some people that you don't like, but you don't like them, man. But damn it, the whole race, I say, ain't none of them all right. Everybody bad. Hey, but listen, let me get up off of my, let me get up off of that real quick so we can go back into the entertainment part of the podcast. Hey, listen, we talk about some we talk about a lot of shit here, but let me get my thoughts together here. They got me all messed up. I'm sitting here thinking about some bitch got a pillow, you know, snuffing out Dr. King. Did I, you know what I'm saying? It ain't good thoughts right now.
That's all right. Just Wusa.
Yeah, well, I'm good. But I got one more thing, though.
You go ahead and get your thoughts together and collect yourself while I get this shout out to Craig Jones. Many of you might know him, but he was the first black man to coin the phrase by Felicia.
I'm sorry. What did he just say, man?
Black history.
can you repeat that?
Craig Jones. He was the first black man to coin the phrase by Felicia.
Craig Jones.
That's his black history moment.
Mr. Jones, that's
Mr.
Jones' son.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hey, but you know what? Before we get too far going, we talk about black and white all the time. Again, it's always a favorite topic of conversation, and it needs to be talked about, and it needs to be made fun of, because sometimes through laughter, you can, you know, we can find a common solution. But you know what? Sometimes the shit gets real, though.
I want every white person in this room who would be happy to be treated as this society in general treats our citizens, our black citizens. If you, as a white person, would be happy to receive the same treatment that our black citizens do in this society, please stand. You didn't understand the directions. If you, white folks, want to be treated the way blacks are in this society, stand. Nobody's standing here. That says very plainly that you know what's happening. You know you don't want it for you. I want to know why you're so willing to accept it or to allow it to happen for others.
Hey, and that was a white doctor doing a study. I'm just going to leave that whole thing right there for a minute. Maybe I'll come back to it. Hey, but you know what I need? I need like a shot of some black positivity right now. Hey, can anybody help me? I need some black positivity right now.
I've got some black positivity for you.
Being that this is
Black History Month, and the way of something positive that we as a people are doing for Black History, there's a woman. She is in Detroit. Her name is Kiko Davis. She is the only black female bank owner. She is the majority stock owner of the first independent bank in Detroit. Okay, so this sister, I think, is pretty bad. Personally, that's how I see her. She's the first black female bank owner. She's the majority stock owner of this bank, and it's located in Detroit. So it says here that it is one of the first. It is one of the top largest black-owned banks in the U.S. She is the only black woman in the country who owns a bank. So I think that's to be commended, because you have to imagine the hurdles and obstacles this woman had to go through to own a bank.
Hey, shout out to the sister with the bank. Shout out to the sister with the bank.
And I mean, to be the only black female to own a bank in this country.
All right.
Hey.
They asked her who inspired her. She said Shirley Chisholm. She was inspired by Shirley Chisholm. So I just thought that was to be, you know.
Shirley was the first black candidate for president. What's it, vice president or president?
She was the first person, first black woman to make Congress and also to run for a candidate for president on the Democrat ticket. Correct.
Okay, yeah, Shirley Chisholm. I go back in the day. All right. See you again.
I mean,
folks.
I just thought that was some serious black girl magic right there.
Yeah.
Well, you
yeah,
know what?
Absolutely.
Like I said, you know, that's where the magic got to come from, man. We got to bring it back to Mother Earth. What's up, Brother Messenger? Nice that you could join us, my brother.
Well, all right, yeah, that's what the messenger be trying to tell people. I say give a shout out to the messenger for trying to get black people as well as white people of all colors to understand that we are one and that we can make a difference.
Nigga, put that coffee down, man. Put that coffee down. why you sound like an extra large cup of that Dunkin' Donuts coffee right now, man?
No,
brother. I got
just,
you, man.
Just happy to be home.
Yeah, I just. Okay. Yeah, welcome, messenger.
Yeah.
You know
what's
so funny? How you doing?
Go ahead, big brother.
What's so funny? No, what's so funny?
Oh no, I was in the middle of the hello. It's so funny when we start talking about and I'm gonna get right back to you, baby sis, because I hope you got some more positivity for me, because I felt another negative wave coming over. It's so funny. It's so funny, man, that we talk about inventions. Let me tell you something. Anybody who, I mean, if you really think, and I don't, watch this, I don't mean to be anything other than factual right now. If you really think that white people invented half the things that they took credit for, then you gotta not, you don't understand the laws of physics, the laws of supply and demand, or the laws of labor. The person doing the work is always going to be trying to find an easier way to do it. For the people who took credit, excuse me, for all the inventions of black Americans, and again, other races contributed, but right now it's Black History Month. So for the person who took credit for all these inventions that black people were doing, man, again, I don't think that you probably – could find an invention and the black person didn't have a hand in. I mean, we talk about, and again, and it gets so powerful that it's like mind blowing when you start, you know, we learned that Garrett Morgan made the traffic light. What, the traffic light? So guess what? That means he understood something about electricity and colors. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, but they don't, we lost most of our patents to the person who owned us.
You know, yeah, they stole them.
Yeah, but no, they didn't. In fact, they didn't even steal them. They made us give them to them. So,
if you want to put it that way, but it's just still stolen.
Yeah, but I'm saying we couldn't even call the cops. Cops come and show up and be like, "What happened, boy?" You'd be like, "I gave it to him." So he ain't stole shit from you till now. But, you know, give me some more positivity, please.
Well, I mean, I'm just basically looking at the fact of, like, just saluting black businesses, black-owned businesses, and just the positivity that we're doing. I don't know if anybody remembers the group, you know, the Fugees, the rap group, the Fugees.
Yeah.
I'm sure, right? That's with Lauryn Hill and Wyclef. Y'all remember that group, right? Well, there was one of the members, Praz. He was kind of, you know, he didn't get as much attention as Wyclef and Lauryn did. But at any rate, you know, he was a positive brother. He did a lot of Grammy-winning artist, producer. He was a political advocate, humanitarian himself. But this brother, he's doing some pretty big things himself. He developed this thing called he's calling Blackture, which represents black culture. It's like a software, some like technology. So it's, as I said, it's this thing where it's going to be, what does it say here? It's a like a technology where he's going to be inventing. It's like an Android for smartphone services such as healthcare, education, and entertainment. So it's like an e-marketplace where people will be able to go to get healthcare, education, as I said, and entertainment. So it was formed to address the lack of diversity that exists within the tech industry. And
right,
this brother invented it.
But now let me tell you something about black people, man. And again, usually shit that they keep us out of, when we get in it, We changed the game. And again, so you know, we just have to understand that. You know, I don't believe that bullshit about just keep trying and you're gonna get it. No, it's a whole lot deeper than that. But trying is a big part of it. But once we get past that, understand that I mean, we could be a force anywhere. In fact, just speaking of a force, we're gonna skip down to a little beef going on with with black people in Gucci for a minute, because when I seen T.I. on and we're gonna get back to some positivity, but I seen a little Facebook thing on T.I. and they were talking about boycott Gucci because they did a black face sweater, or they called them coons and monkeys. Well, I mean, watch this. First of all, I would love, I mean, I'm serious, I would love to be a part of that boycott, man, because that would mean I got Gucci dollars, man. I mean, I'm not talking about the belt. I'm talking about I got Gucci dollars, man. And me personally, how many people on the podcast support a Gucci boycott?
What, in terms of just not purchasing any of the items?
Yeah, we ain't fucking with Gucci no more. How many people support that?
Sure, why not?
No, but watch this.
I'm on
though.
Board.
See, but here's what I'm saying, and don't get me wrong, we could all go afford some Gucci shoes. We can go, but I'm talking about when you talk about the Gucci collection. See, we don't shop like that. I'm sorry. So, Brother T.I., if I could join the boycott, I would. Because that means I got Gucci.
But I guess what T.I. is saying, any of it, the cologne, the belts, the bags, the shoes, he's saying any of it. Any of it. Don't purchase any of it.
But what? And I go with him on that only because I'm just going to keep it 100. If that's all you could afford is the Gucci belt and just a belt, then come on, go get you a couple of other belts. If that's all you can afford is the Gucci belt, you ain't got no business being a Gucci anyway, man. That's all I'm saying. You know, so I'm,
man, you just gotta understand. In fact,
this is
like they're trying to turn people away from that whole.
But go ahead.
That whole organization.
But, why? Because the organization may shift. Now, let me tell you something. And don't get me wrong. Honestly, if I was a Gucci shopper, I would support black people on this just because. But because people make racist statements or do stuff like that, does that mean they make a bad product? Or does that mean their product is good? First of all, you got to know that people make things more valuable, but the material that goes into a pair of Gucci shoes are not $2,000 more than some material that go into some Johnson & Murphy's, man. It's not.
It's all about the name, man. It's all about the name.
It is.
That's all
you're
paying
for.
I think what T.I. was trying to say is you got a lot of nerve, Gucci, to do something like that, and some of your biggest supporters that purchase your stuff, be it a belt or a cologne or bag or shoes, are African American people. So for you to do anything in a black face sweater, you got a lot of nerve. So even if it is nothing but a belt that you might buy or some cologne, don't purchase that, because Gucci, you got a lot of nerve to insult us even when people take their last to buy something from you. Okay,
well,
because like you said, you might only can afford a belt, but if this person can only afford a belt and so can the next person, well, you add all of that up, and that's a lot of belts. But if everybody stops doing that, guess what? Gucci will feel that.
But watch this.
That's kind of like Cadillac disrespect to black folks. Put
exactly, exactly. And if everybody pull their resources together and stop buying Cadillacs, Cadillac will straighten up and act right.
Yeah, well,
so you got to demand. You have to demand respect.
Watch this. Timberland did the same thing. Remember
right.
What did Timberland say? I ain't design my outdoor wear for niggas.
He was sick that day.
Oh, he was okay. Watch this. That cause you got.
He said he was sick that day.
That cause you got all 20 bad things.
Was that Timberland or somebody else? There was somebody else I thought.
Yeah,
It was a bunch of people.
I think that was the producer, Tim, but I don't think that was the book. that was
him and Missy Elliott. but you know, but again, though, but T.I. is right, and I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, I do have a bottle of Gucci cologne that I'm going to throw in the garbage after this podcast. I mean, I support the movie.
Well, go ahead and wear it. Because it's expensive. It ain't cheap. Go ahead and finish wearing it. But when you're done wearing that bottle, just don't repurchase no more. That's all.
No. Okay.
Here's what we got to do, my people.
Throw it out real quick. Let me see that.
Oh, see?
What we've got to do is understand our worth and stop copying.
Exactly. You got to know your worth. That's exactly what you got to know.
We feel that we're not successful if we don't have Gucci because other people wear Gucci. We've got to understand that we are special too. It's $5,000. We know that $5,000 it didn't take to make that, but we'll go spend it. That's not intelligent on our behalf, just for a name. We need to make our own names.
And that's what T.I. said. He said, we are a trillion. He said, you know what? We own the less. We make the less, but we spend more. And, man, let me tell you something. If we could get that message to black folk, that if we would understand our real purchasing power, we could bring about equality. But as long as we march it and holding up signs and just talking shit, but still spending money to empower those who disenfranchise you, then we always going to be stuck, man.
The message you're trying to tell people, but they won't listen.
Hey, man, you know, hey, sometimes shit is a little harder to hear. You know? It is, but again, I do say that. And we could bring about equality without all the assassinations. We could bring about equality without having a riot and march in the streets and hold up banners. We ain't got to do none of that shit. All we would have to do is communicate to the point where we're not purchasing that, whatever that is. And we got to remember that is going to be enjoyable to some people, but you're going to have to give that up.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you feel about Mayweather's response?
Well, see, now, on the other hand, again, Mayweather, you know, I mean, first of all, they said Mayweather, since he been doing what he do, he ain't never wore the same pair of drawers twice, man. They said that man spent $6,000 a year in drawers, man. You know what I'm saying? So,
but again, how do you feel about his response to what the cause was? Because they asked for people to boycott Gucci, and he said he wasn't doing it.
I would have supported the boycott, but I understand his position also. I would be trying to talk to him, say, like, yo, come on, money. You know, come on, side with us, man. I mean, you could go like Louis. Like T.I. was saying, there's a lot of other designers out there that could have probably used that $500,000 that money dropped when they went to the Gucci store. But think about it. When you papered up, rapping, legal or illegal, Gucci store is somewhere in your list of shit that you're going to do, man. That just come with that whole big baller thing. Am I good? I don't support it now. Don't get me wrong. I'm with T.I. First, let me say that. I'm with T.I., but I'm saying people who got money like that, if they're not leading, they tend not to want to follow sometimes.
Well, his response was, well, when they say everybody going to boycott, I say, guess what? This boy going to go get on a yacht and live life. That was his response.
Who said that?
That was
Mayweather.
Money Mayweather.
None of this affects him.
See?
Sometimes when you get money, you forget where you come from.
And especially when you have that much money. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. You have arrived.
Again, I would have liked to see money get on board with it, but, you know, secret sources tell me that one of the real reasons that money spent all that his paper in the Gucci store ain't had nothing to do with Gucci.
Well, come on
that's
now.
What they tell
say
me.
So.
That's what they tell me.
That's what I think. I think that was some personal stuff.
There you. That's, and I think that's why I wanted that put on TV, because again, you could have went to the Gucci store without it being noticed. You Money Mayweather, they used to seeing your ass around there. But again, that was another message. Again, from what I understand. And that message
right.
wasn't T.I.
Yeah, that was something. That was some issue. That was something for you and T.I. Yeah.
What's the message you talk about?
T.I.N.Y. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but just T.I.? No. Hey, you know, let's hey, did anybody check out the Grammys, man? Because I don't know. I heard Jennifer was good. I heard some other shit about it. I don't usually follow shit like that. You know, I mean, I ain't knocking them. I just, that ain't the shit that I watch. Anybody watch it or got any words on it?
I didn't watch it, but I know the black community was a little up in arms about the fact that the Grammys had her doing the tribute, the Motown tribute. They were, as I said, they were a little upset about the fact that she was picked to do the R&B and soul 60th award tribute. They felt that out of all the people that could have done that, J-Lo should not have been the one. They, you know, they were up in arms about that. So
well,
I would like to ask, excuse me?
Huh?
I said the black community a little sensitive, ain't they?
Yeah, they should have been on that bullshit, man. You know what? I mean, yeah, they real sensitive on that bullshit.
Well, I mean, now it's the 60th. Well, let me ask you. It's the 60th Motown R&B Soul Award. So when you think of Motown 60th R&B Soul Award, J-Lo comes to your mind to do a tribute to that?
Look what that was done at the Grammys. If that was a Motown thing, J-Lo wouldn't have been nowhere near that place.
Well, I mean,
the Grammys
must have thought they messed up, because they tried to do damage control and they made a public apology for it and turned around and did, they had another show which they did a celebration, and they had Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross, Boyz II Men, Chloe and Haley, Tori Kelly, John Legend, Neo, and a whole bunch of other people. So
why you didn't leave with that?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. So if you realize that, why not just do that and incorporate that with that J-Lo thing? Like, to me, it was a swing and a miss all the way around. If you did another show and had all those people on it, why not just do that to begin with? Why not just do that to begin with? Diana Ross is Motown. So why not have her just do that to begin with?
Sometimes when you do stuff or tweet stuff and you get that backlash, as long as you real quickly go back out there and was like, I was wrong, people will forget you.
I mean, Stevie Wonder and Diana Ross is Motown. So why not just have them do that from the beginning? Why would you even do that with J-Lo? Seriously, why would you? They offered that to other people, and they respectfully declined it. J-Lo was the one that accepted it. Other people said, nah, that's all right, I passed, because they knew better.
That was the Grammys. That wasn't the BET Awards.
Yeah, that was, again, that was just like
those
the Super Bowl.
Old Jewish men running
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to step out there and be like, you know what? I'm with the struggle, but I got to take this chance. And you know, and again, those are those tough-ass decisions in life that we come across that we have to make more of inside of the struggle. I mean, in favor of the struggle. Not so much about your individuality shit right now. But then again, if I'm an entertainer and I'm kicking it with jokers who got houses, now that's the business I'm in. Before messages start, I ain't saying I need that, but all my other friends got that, and I can get that by doing this. That sacrifice now becomes something I got to contemplate. And most of the times, because we are not accustomed to wealth, not money, then we'll make a lot of bad decisions hoping that we get that wealth that we seek.
Because yeah, I think a lot of people have boycotted it, like Drake and I think like Kendrick Lamar and Jay and Puffy, a lot of them, they boycotted and they did something, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on that. I think they did something solo and, you know, and they had some kind of party and affair somewhere else. But so a lot of people was even boycotting it. It's just a lot of games they play. I don't know. But, I mean, from what I did hear, I think.
The Grammys was just fine before Puffy and Drake and all of them came along. So do you think they really care?
Well, I mean, again, from I ain't got near nickel in that. I really could, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, from what I could see, what's her girl's name? She did a good job at hosting. That's what they say, because I didn't watch it, but so they say she did a good job. What's her name? Alicia Keys. They say she did a good job.
You know, when we start talking about boycotting shit, and we ain't going to do this, or we ain't listening to R. Kelly records because he did some shit over here. But you know what? It's an interesting segue, but I got to ask a question. How many people know that song, Amazing Grace? Anybody ever heard that before?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That song was written by a songwriter named John Newton, who was one of the fiercest slave traders and slave beaters during his time. Now, since we understand the shit he did, can we now say the next time we go to church and they start singing Amazing Grace, we going to sit down and not sing? Just asking a question.
Wait a minute. What's Amazing Grace you talking about? Because there's different versions.
Hold on. Now, you got to understand something. Now, everybody knows what Amazing Grace, how it sound that saved a wretch like me.
I'm with you now.
I'm going to get the
simple. I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure I didn't know which one you're talking about.
See, you forgot about the simple, man. Come on.
I wanted to see which one you were talking about. Okay, I'm with you.
And I was saying, you know, we done jazz the song up into a thousand different versions. But I'm saying the writer of that song was a slave, not only a slave trader, but he used to beat the shit out these slaves. Now, the fact that we now understand he did that, let's just say, just for the sake of conversation on the attic, if you got an old man having sex with young girls, or you got a joker over here trading niggas and beating niggas, which one of those do you think would be okay in your house? You got to pick one. R. Kelly or John Newton, which one would you pick?
Stomping the name of love.
Stepping the name of love. That's all I'm saying. But you know,
I'll pass on all of it. How about that?
Okay, and that's true. But I'm just saying, you know, we get to the point where, and this even goes back to our political parties. Republicans, you jokers can go out there and do all the sexy, crazy-ass shit you want. Ain't nobody rushing to kick your ass out of office. But the Democrat, you talk about like Al, now don't get me wrong. My man in New York, some of them needed to be gone. Al Franken, because of some shit you did, you brushed up against somebody. They ran his ass out of town. So all I'm saying is we just get conditioned into what side we want to take on shit.
Right.
And if we're going to be true to ourselves, then we have to say, listen, if you touch underage girls, we don't like you. Then everybody who touch underage girls, we don't like. But we can't say if you touch underage girls, and I'm just giving you an example. I'm really not talking about Robert right now, but because I can't call him R no more. R was his cool name. But I'm saying if one person does it and it's okay, then why is it different if another person does it? And it's pretty much the same crime. But see, black folk, we got to wake up on that. Democrats, we got to wake up on that. Because, again, y'all done ran some nice Democrats out of office behind some old outdated sexual inappropriate shit. Now, don't get me wrong. When you start physically touching and taking shit that don't belong to you, you cross the line and you got to get what you got to get.
The western slope these days, in addition to the drought.
Okay. That must mean I must be boring.
I'm with you 100% on that. I thought we was on that other show that come on Thursdays at 10 o'clock.
No, we ain't gonna get
that. That's what I thought.
But you know what? Hold on, before we leave, man. Somebody please clue me in on what is all this blackface shit going on now? When did that become popular? Or was that really big back in the day?
Back in the day, it was popular. That's what white people did. The minstrel show, remember Al Jolson? You wouldn't get a black performer, but you would get a white performer. He would put shoe polish or whatever on his face, and that was your black person right there. To this very day, they used to dress up like rappers back in the day. And I don't know what it was, shoe polish or whatever, but, you know, they put it on their face and they go out. Oh, I'm Run DMC. I'm this one, I'm that one.
You know something about some blackface, man? But I'm sorry for talking underneath you there. Somebody correct me now. Is it in Virginia where was the governor or somebody they want to pull his ass out of office because he did some blackface shit back in college? And then I'm sorry,
He said he's going to a costume party dressed up like Michael Jackson. That's what he said.
Okay, but watch this though. Now they want to take his ass out of office, but the next in command, they can't give the job to him because he got some sexual charges or some kind of domestic violence charges he got to answer for. So let's go down to the third in command. He was going to take the job, but he said, look, ain't no sense in me taking the job. I did the same shit that the first person did. I'm telling you, that shit sound like a Warren D or a Snoop Dogg video. Damn, everybody doing the same shit. But I didn't know that blackface, I didn't know blackfacing it was so big, man.
If that's the case, do we get mad at Dan Aykroyd for trading places when he dressed up like a Jamaican dude, put the black face on, the shoe polish?
That's up for question. We will take that vote sometime next week.
No, but my thing is now again, if we acting, we're acting. If we're putting on entertainment, we're putting on entertainment. You know, I mean, so I think we got to draw the line somewhere different there. But if you're just doing that shit just out of some, I don't know what the motives were, but
some ignorant mess. That's all.
That's
that
what
is.
White people do amongst themselves. They do that.
Well, I know
they
got
to stop doing. They got to stop doing that. Because that's
all
white people do.
Excuse me.
Baby,
hey,
brother,
sister.
All white people do it?
No, I didn't say all white people.
Yeah, but what's okay. Hey, Sister Timmy, nice
you know
daughter.
That's a hot button.
Not all of them.
It sounds like my
Thank
boy,
you.
I got to make that disclaimer. Cause he's
not all of
really
them.
Like, I mean, all of them.
Not all
some
of them.
Of them. And it's harmless. I understand it.
White man doesn't even come into my attitude. Mr. Muhammad teaches us to love our own kind. And let the white.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't know who played that clip. I was just trying to get out of the answers, man. But listen.
Ken, I was going to. Brother Ken, I was going to end on a positive hang up.
Go ahead.
One of the oldest black churches in Alexandria, it's called Alfred Street Baptist Church. They donated $100,000 to pay off the debt of 34 full-time students at Howard University with a GPA of 2.0 or higher who demonstrated financial need. I thought that was pretty awesome because the church usually doesn't get a pretty, you know, a good rap, but that's what the church to me is supposed to be, at least one of the things the church is supposed to be for. So I thought
Amen.
That was a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
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 And the fact that you only had to have a 2.0, because usually it's like usually a 3.5 or 3.0 or something, but They did it for 2.0, so I thought that was a beautiful thing.
Amen.
They helped out a lot of people with that one right there. All my brothers and sisters.
Yes, they are.
Whatever. Let's get it.
Yes, they are. That 2.0. I thought that was beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know
they
what?
They don't usually get too many people help when you got a 2.0.
Yeah, I was just
2.78 or higher coming from college. I've been there, and
yes.
I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, so I thought that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know what's nice? I mean, you know, it's just beautiful regardless, even if they had it at a 4.0. But the fact that they made it 2.0, it made it more inclusive so that a lot more
exactly.
people could be helped.
But the bigger issue is the fact that they were trying to help those in financial need is tougher because you have so much more going on. When you're in financial need, you're working. You're doing so many other things as far as you worry about your family,
right.
going back and forth, you know. So sometimes you just got to get that degree. Like, it don't matter, you know, but it's tough.
That's right. That's right. That's
cool.
Right.
And they was able to, you know, just take some pressure off.
Yep.
So
absolutely. Absolutely.
That's cool.
Yep.
That's
I
what
thought
we
that was a beautiful thing.
That's what we asking. Just take a little bit of the pressure off, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful.
Right?
I thought it was a beautiful thing. I said that's what the church is supposed to be about. I thought it was beautiful.
Well again, you know what? Watch this. I gotta tell you, when you said I'm gonna end on a positive, and the first thing you said was a church. I'm like, okay.
That's what I said. I got something for you. I got something for you.
We give it up when it's due, and in that case like that, that's due. That's we can talk about a whole lot of other issues, but that's just a beautiful thing. Collectively, they got together and did.
That's right.
That's why
I said that. Just for something like this, you got to give them props because you're not churches when they're doing something negative, but this was a positive for them. And this was, you know, with the church, to me, this is the purpose of what one of the, you know, what a church should be doing. And this was a positive.
That was a beautiful thing, man.
Huh? Yeah.
I said, I'm with it.
Again, and you know what? There should be more people doing, that kind of positive shit should be contagious. You know, there should be another congregation of people that says, you know what? Hey, let's outdo them. See, that's that positive competition that stimulates.
That's that competition we need, right? All right,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. And again, stimulates for everybody. See, you know,
that's all we're trying to say.
It's never about superiority. It's all about let's make this shit equal. If we're playing football, you can't have 37 people on the field and tell me I got 6 and shut up and play the game. We can't do that. Let's go 11 each side, and we see how things turn out.
Okay.
Hey, but again, interesting twist on Black History Month. And again, every week, we're going to dwell just a little deeper into some shit that's still going on that affects the lives and attitudes of Black Americans, shit that we should be able to address, and some things that we can do as people to unite and make our economic voice heard as far as, again, if there are businesses who don't appreciate you, then you don't appreciate them by spending your dollars in their store. That's very simple. And because of the economic buying power that we possess, trust me, as I said earlier, we can bring about equality without marching, without throwing rocks, without throwing bullets, because America understands dollars, man. And if your dollars are stacked high enough, I don't really give a damn who you are. They will listen. And since we understand that, now we start talking about pooling resources. Nobody got injured. Okay, no shots were fired. That's a peaceful revolution, man. And I think we ought to look at that and you know, Dr. King had his day with the turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff. But now we're going to say, let's turn our billfolds. Let's turn our pockets. That's what we're turning now, so that we are accepted on the same level as other producers or buyers of products, and we can bring some kind of equity to this thing called the Declaration of Independence. Hey, folks, this is co-producer for Hodge the Hodge podcast on Blog Talk Radio. Next week, we'll have another installment of Black History Month by the Attic. Hey, Cass, say good night, and I'll be talking to everybody.
Yo, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah, what's the difference between a light and a hard?
Give me that one more time.
What's the difference between a light and hard?
I don't know.
So you can go to sleep with the light on, but you can't go to sleep with a hello. All right, I'll check y'all out later.
Oh my God! You just took it all the way there, man.
Yeah, all right. Wow.
Good night.
All right. And on that note, good night.